Welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. We're coming to you live from our studios, which are found here at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And welcome to today's Grace Hour broadcast, friends. Thanks so much for joining us. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining us in the studio today is Pastor Tom Schaller. And we expect to be joined by phone by Pastor Ben Turquia, joining us live from Israel. So you want to stay tuned to today's Grace Hour broadcast, friends. Our theme today, of course, the week's long theme here in the Grace Hour is prophecy. Today, we'll be looking specifically at Israel in relationship to biblical prophecy. So stay tuned. Again, we should have a very exciting broadcast for you today. And I know that many of our listeners are interested, especially in light of what's been happening in that part of the world since October 7th. Where does all of what we see happening today fit into biblical prophecy? We'll talk about that and more on this, the Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. Don't forget, friends, to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And we also want to give you the opportunity to join us live. The phone lines will be open during today's broadcast, which means you can pick up a phone, dial one of those numbers, and participate with your comments or questions during our broadcast today. Here are the numbers, toll-free, 800-338-7060. Anywhere in North America, you can dial that number and join us live. If you're in the greater Baltimore area and you'd like to join us, you can dial 410-483-3700. And again, what is Israel's role in relationship to end times Bible prophecy? Well, Pastor Schaller, we see the nation of Israel. This, of course, these are God's chosen people, and their place in biblical history and biblical prophecy is front and center, I think is the best way to say it. So even in light of what's happening, and I know that the tendency among believers is whenever there is a crisis in the Middle East or focusing on Israel in particular, everybody wants to know how it relates to biblical prophecy. And I think that's a question that's on everybody's minds, you know. I even had someone recently who's not a believer handed me a newspaper article talking about the end times and Israel. And with a question like, you know, is this happening? Are we watching this unfold before our eyes today? And sometimes it can get a little tricky when you're trying to fit current events into the framework of biblical prophecy. But obviously, whenever something is happening in Israel, it brings to mind, what is God doing? Are we watching things unfold before our eyes? Are we seeing biblical prophecy come to pass?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, to get a context, in the 19th century, Bible teachers were wondering how the end times will work, what is happening. I mean, this is 19th century. This is in the 1800s. Darby and other theologians that were studying the subject, and they were mystified. How could the all of this happen without the Jews being back in the promised land? So they just believe that it is the end times. They believe that Israel had to go back. Jewish people had to be regathered. And that mindset is fascinating because it shows you that they got it right, that they understood this would be happening. And it did happen in the, you know, the Holocaust in Europe provoked the nations of the world to be sympathetic. The Jews were returning at the end of the 19th century. There was a Zionist movement. They started to come in numbers in the beginning of the 20th century. And then by the time of the Holocaust, and then the sympathy, and then the birth of the state of Israel. So we are, you know, since then, and we're way past that now. I mean, 60 years or so past that. And we've been waiting for the next events to be unfolding. So there are Christians that are very keen to the subject and very much interested in what's happening now. And we recognize that, and we are also really anticipating the second coming of Christ.
Amen. You know, when it comes to biblical prophecy, the Bible says a lot about it. Someone has suggested that at least a quarter of the Bible is taken up with biblical prophecy. I mean, that's a good chunk of the scripture, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And when you think of prophecies, let's say, relating to Christ and his first coming, all of those prophecies relating to Christ's coming, the first coming, there's a second coming, we know, but all of those prophecies were fulfilled.
Yeah.
Perfect. Not one of them failed to be fulfilled. So
yeah.
When it comes to biblical prophecy, it's, you, for lack of a better way of saying it, this is a sure bet.
Yeah.
These things are going to happen.
Yes.
Now, the question, of course, is always when. And
yeah.
That's not something that we can definitely put our finger on.
Yeah, you know, the first coming of Christ prophesied with many angles, you know, geography, events, being sold for 30 pieces of silver, pierced through his hands and through his feet, Psalm 22, Isaiah 53. All of this, Micah 5:2, born in Bethlehem, all of these, and I understand 333 of them, 33 fulfilled in one day. So this is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. Maybe not the one you expected, but the one that God sent and is the perfect will of God. So we have that part of prophecy. But then you have the prophecies regarding cities and empires. Daniel was very good at that. Cities like Tyre and Sidon, of course, prophecies about Jerusalem. And then the gathering of the Jews after a great dispersion for nearly 2,000 years and then being gathered back to Israel. What do you know about the gathering of the Jews back to Israel, Pastor Love?
Well, I can give you my thoughts, but even better than that, joining us from Israel, Pastor Ben Turquia, on today's edition of the Grace Hour. Pastor Ben, welcome to the program. Pastor Ben, can you hear us? Well, we're having a connection problem right now. We're going to try to connect with him, but I think he is joining us live from Jerusalem. We'll work on that. And hopefully he can hear us and we can hear him. I think we'll try for a reconnection in just a moment. Well, back to the question, Pastor Schaller. I mean, the regathering of Israel as a nation, that it happened when 1948, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's something that's remarkable because, as you said, nothing had happened for 2,000 years. So when that happened, mm-hmm. once again, people began to, you know, inquire and wonder, are we watching biblical prophecy being fulfilled once again? And now when you look at the tension that exists in the Middle East and you have all of the surrounding nations around Israel, now you can't say that all of these nations exactly are friends.
Mm.
Mm. Many of them might even be enemies.
Mm.
And you start to see a coalition of these nations and they are opposing the nation of Israel, it does suggest that, you know, there's like a gathering storm that's it's on its way.
Yeah. One aspect of the enemies around Israel, you have the immediate countries, Syria, Edom, Moab, Jordan, you have Egypt. And usually those are the countries that are right there at the border, and they are the ones that are usually prophesied about. Damascus, the capital of Syria, and so on. But in Ezekiel 38 and 39, you have another configuration, and those are nations that are like further out. The periphery grows bigger, and those are the nations further out. Gog, Magog, Togar, Ma, and Libya, Put. These are Libya, Ethiopia, Central Asian countries, Russia, and Syria. So that what's fascinating with Bible prophecy today is that we can imagine those countries that are further out from Israel being a problem.
Mm. And you can almost see this coalition. Not that it's happening, but you could see that it could happen. And that you could see all of these nations coming together in an alliance against the nation of Israel, mm-hmm. which would seem to be, again, that fulfillment of biblical prophecy.
Right.
Setting things up for perhaps a final battle, or Armageddon is what we read in the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. Well, we're going to attempt again to connect with Pastor Ben Turkia from Israel. Pastor Ben, can you hear us?
Hello?
Hi. Oh, there you are. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much. It's a joy to hear talking about Israel on the other side of the sea.
We're so glad that you could join us, Pastor Ben. Our theme today in the Grace Hour is prophecy regarding the nation of Israel. And, of course, with recent events that have happened and that are ongoing, where you are in the Jerusalem area and throughout the nation of Israel, obviously people are wondering, believers are asking the question, are we looking at something that potentially is creating a framework for the last days according to biblical prophecy?
Thank you for the excellent question. Part of the answer is already in the question. When we talk about Bible prophecy and prophecy in general, in Israel it takes kind of like I don't want to say completely different meaning, but really like a very, very urgent meaning. Israel is Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy is Israel. Of course, it also involves many things. So, Israel is right now at a point which is in importance and urgency and seriousness comparable to 1948 when we got the state. This is a serious, according to our leaders' own statements. It's very interesting. Two years ago, our Prime Minister Netanyahu was really trying hard to protect the nation. I have no question about that. 2 years ago, he said, they're entering Jacob's trouble. He said, the Prime Minister said, we're entering Jacob's trouble. Our top military leader said, yesterday or 2 days ago, we have to be able to uproot terror bases in Gaza, otherwise we cannot exist as a nation anymore. So these are very, very serious. So I'm not trying to oversell this, but a sense, the feeling here is amazing. Many, many Israelis were feeling that we can just kind of like these terrorist groups, we can appease them and make a kind of like a join the world agenda that Israel will be democratic with the world values and we can make a Palestinian state, for example. But when this event happened with all these brutal murders, even people burned to charcoal by the terrorists, captured and all this, when this happened, this ideology that the left wing is going to accept us, or the general world, which is, let's say, mostly left wing, we're going to be their friends, play with their ideas, that's just right. And new patriotic feeling rose up in the land. Many people that didn't think much about God are now reading Psalms and asking rabbis questions and so on. So there's a new religious revival. And I want to say at this point, thank you for taking a stand to pray for Israel. The ministry has taken the right stand. Some ministries are afraid to even mention Israel at this point for fear of being somehow attacked by the groups that are lenient to support terrorism. So thank you for your prayers and your support. We are so built up by that.
We appreciate that so much. And Pastor Ben, maybe you could comment on this subject, this theme that we hear so often in the media, in the press, in our nation, I think around the globe as well, that the answer to what's happening in Israel is a two-state solution, that Israel must coexist with the Palestinians, and that's the only way that this is going to be resolved. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, my thoughts are very simple and very clear. It looks like it's going that direction. In the book of Joel, chapter 3, it says they have divided my land. The contest is last days after Judah has been returned to the land. That's particularly that the first big groups of Israelis that identify as synagogue-going Jews or Jewish people are in the land. That has happened, that we are back in the land. It says they have divided my land. Now, we have to connect that with Zechariah chapter 12. In other words, the whole world is going to be concerned about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the burdensome stone that they are messing around with. So why is Jerusalem so central? If there's any discussions about giving up lands in Israel, there are many people that could even imagine giving something up. Well, when it comes to Jerusalem, it's like, this is the big piece. This is the big piece. When they are talking about the peace plan, which is now in the works after the war, Israel is trying to bring Saudi Arabia into these Abrahamic Accords, okay? Saudi just has repeatedly stated that we are very interested in this normalization. You all know. Okay, they're very interested, but they have a price tag, which is two-state solution or something like that, and Palestinian state with Jerusalem as a centerpiece. Ooh, this gets into Zechariah 12. The whole world is going to demand very high price from Israel. Now, personally, I believe this somehow has to be fulfilled, but it will not stand. The interesting thing is, how would Orthodox Jews ever agree giving up land for the Palestinian state? I have a thought, I'm going to say this is prophecy, but it's Bible prophecy. And my thought is this. Could be wrong, but this is what I believe. They're going to bring the temple card into the equation. Okay. And both sides will feel they win. Jews are offered a temple alongside with the mosque and some kind of a Christian edifice, as it appears. This is already actually in the talks. It is in the talks. So when Orthodox Jews feel we're going to get the temple, they say, ooh, if we lose something now, we'll get it back when the Messiah comes. Because if we get the temple, we get the Messiah. And Arabs are going to feel like they're also going to get what they want. These are very big things. Our eyes are on Zechariah 12. Zechariah 12. The nations going to come and mess around with Jerusalem's decisions, and it will be very detrimental for them. So I meant this to be a short answer, but this is a big topic.
It's fascinating to see what's happening there. And it's also fascinating to see the way the world is reacting or responding to what's happening in the Middle East. I think when the attack first occurred in October 7th, I believe, it seemed like most of the nations of the world stood by Israel and understood that they had the right to protect themselves. And then, of course, following that, because war has broken out and has gone on now for over 100 days. And you can start to see how the world is beginning to turn and change its opinion, change its mind regarding Israel. But what about the people of Israel? What is their feeling? How do they, are they supporting their government presently? And do you think that that will continue?
It's an excellent point. Excellent question. We talk about the government. Let me first talk about world perception and a war. My favorite statement in my life is that I always repeat, nothing is as it seems. Nothing is as it seems. Or like Paul said, I look on things on outward by outward appearance. Okay, when we have war, terrorism, terrorist organization, it is not a natural war. Every year or every other year, we've had rockets coming massively and all the time, more rain, year after year. What we did not realize, how large is the underground city, hundreds of miles of tunnels in Gaza, hundreds of miles of tunnels. So far, we have eliminated many other terrorists. According to the government's estimate, we've only eliminated about 20% of the terrorists. They got factories, endless supplies, weapons in these long, long underground tunnels. We have been very successful, but work is very big. Okay, so when we go to the area, Israel informs the whole area, we're coming, they drop leaflets. Israel is even making phone calls, private telephones in the homes, Arabic homes. We're coming, move out. We're coming to bomb because in your building is something. And what is in the building is another tunnel under it, or it's filled with weapons. It's one of the centers. So we have been executing the most moral war that we can imagine, can't even compare it to the world wars. Okay, after this war, after the war has been going on almost 100 days back then, now it's over 100 days, South Africa takes us into international courts in Den Haag or The Hague and accuses us of genocide, while genocide by every definition is on the other side. So when the world sees the buildings going down, it looks awful. But the answer is, the finger should not be pointed at Israel. The finger should be pointed at Hamas and all those West organizations that have been supporting Hamas, pumping money there over the years, and knowing what's going on. I'm sorry, I'm excited about it. But this is a sad factor. The world has compromised. I want to come to your question, Pastor Love. The question is that, what do Israelis think about the present government? Israelis are confused about what happened. How was our excellent security system broke through? I'm not promoting any theories here. I'm only saying I believe the prime minister is doing quite well, and actually very well presently in dealing with the war. He's very strong. He has good people there. However, the confidence of the people is not there. The unity of the nation was restored to a great degree. But the former justice minister, Ayelet Shaked, said today in Arutz Sheva News, or Channel 7 News, she said, as soon as the war is over, we're going to have new elections. If that does not happen, we're going to have back hundreds of thousands. She didn't quote the numbers, but we're going to have these massive, massive riots back on the streets. We cannot be divided people anymore. This is about our existence. So, in brief, I believe the confidence of the people is not perfectly with Netanyahu now. If new elections were held like, say, right now. Netanyahu, according to all the reports, would lose.
Very, very, very interesting. And isn't it comforting to know that throughout Israel's history, so often there have been attempts, other nations, and even behind the other nations spiritually, the God of this world has tried to destroy them as a nation. But the comfort there is that with every attempt to do that has resulted in failure. And Israel continues to this day. And she survives, whether it's the slaughter of her children in Egypt, or the attempt by Haman to wipe them out in the book of Esther, or what we saw during the Second World War with Hitler and the Nazis. Israel, she perseveres because biblical history and biblical prophecy says she's going to be there when all of these events that are described for us biblically are going to happen.
Yes. One way to say that is, God said in the book of Zechariah, Israel, you are the apple of my eye. We can apply it to every believer, of course, but he said that to Israel. You are, Israel is the apple of my eye. So when we look at everything related to Israel and Bible prophecy, thank you for taking topic up this week, Bible prophecy, it can be read in two ways. What does it mean for us as believers in the different countries, and how it points up to the last days and all that as a chapter in eschatology, a large chunk in our theology, or we can read it as God's heart or his apple of his eye. So either way we are reading it, and both ways probably, we are really seeing that as the very central point in God's heart. That's not to make the world, that's not to minimize anyway the position of the body of the Messiah, but Israel is coming again to be the centerpiece of the news. So much is happening today in the world. Daily talk about the threat of a third world war, so many challenges. Israel is at the center stage and will be for the coming days and months.
Yeah. Pastor Ben, I'd like to go back to the time of Abraham and just the founding of the nation, Abraham being given the land and walking in it in Genesis 13. And that great promise of the gospel, Abraham being a blessing, and then whoever blesses him is blessed, and who curses him is cursed. So these are very ancient and profound promises, and the actual context for the trouble that we see in history with Israel is actually in the context of God saying to Abraham, this is your land, and also I will give you a son and make you the father of a great nation. I know it's very fundamental to us and that we know that and understand it generally as Christians, but could you comment? There might be some listening who don't realize that this is very important, that a Christian would understand that God is a living God. God did do this with Abraham. It is a testimony of his reality, how he dealt with them, and the history of almost 4,000 years from the time of Abraham. And here we are talking about it in the year 2024, and we are constantly making a reference to this. So what would you like to say about that?
Yes, thank you for that excellent point. When we remember 2 Chronicles chapter 20, the kingdom of Judah came under attack. Army came against So the king was for salvation. And the king is saying there, you gave this land to Abraham, your friend, or your lover, in other words. The land of Israel is a love gift of God. Love gift of God to his people, Israel, and the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the land is very important. By the way, this is interesting. When one day the two witnesses, I believe the scenario goes like this, that they're going to go up with some false peace initiatives. I believe they'll come up with a temple. And then we know in the book of Revelation chapter 11, the two witnesses will show up. And it says about them, they're the two olive trees that stand before the God of the earth. What is happening today is the world. I don't want to go into the names of the organizations, but the world is literally claiming the earth is ours and God is out. And then the world is claiming, we'll do with the earth or the land of Israel as we will. But God says, Israel's land is mine. All of the earth is mine. Like Psalm 24, the great prophetic psalm declares. So God gave Abraham the land as a love gift, and this is the battleground. So when enemy does everything in the world and confuses the nations, all that, the last place where he's actually going to be trapped is Israel. He's going to be trapped in Jerusalem. He's going to be trapped in Temple Mount. And that's where the hammer comes down. When the enemy comes against Israel, that's where the hammer comes down. That's why it looks like very difficult, dangerous for Israel. It's God's plan to trap the enemy, to get us into the millennial reign. And now catching up is in the program, but that's a bit earlier, I believe. Yeah.
Mm. Wow.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I've never really thought of it like that, that the nations of the world will come against Jerusalem, come against Israel, but specifically in the Jerusalem area, and they will be trapped there, and then the coming of Christ, he comes in that context. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. As far as the nations, I meant actually the enemy of the devil is going to be trapped here. But also, when the nations come to mess with Israel and God's plans with Jerusalem, particularly, it says everyone who will lift up this stone will be badly hurt. So actually, it appears that the world is now judging the case of Israel. Now, Israel is not so much here at the point. The world is deciding whether they'll be blessed or whether they'll be judged. And God will discipline Israel. But one-third through and be saved, according to Zechariah. So there'll be some very serious timing. I am not that the world should not criticize Israel, but they should criticize us for the right reasons if they do. They should never criticize Israel for self-defense. They could criticize us that we have swallowed their lies. We've taken the homosexual programs. We've taken many of these things, pro-abortion views, pro-homosexual views from the world, and we swallowed the lies. I would say to the world, please, criticize us for that. We were too stupid that we took your lies. That's fine. But don't criticize Israel for self-defense.
Yes, because it is their land. I mean, this is the big question, but it's from a scriptural point of view, historical point of view, we cannot argue against that God gave the land to Abraham, that they've Okay, the last 2,000 years or so, they were scattered around the world, and that was prophetic. And then gathering them back is also prophetic. And them entering into the land is prophetic. And then the unfolding of the prophecies around the city and the country of Israel, and then the anticipation of all those things where you have the nation with the their belief in God. I mean, some measure of the population believing God, but they have yet to find the Messiah as a nation. And that day is coming. It's prophesied in the scripture that they will realize the one whom they pierced. Isn't that in Zechariah 12 and verse 10? And then, of course, the rapture of the church and then the unfolding of the tribulation period.
Yes. In Jeremiah chapter 18, Jeremiah was taken into a potter's house, and the clay sometime made some problems, and he would not obey the form. But the potter put the fingers and formed it into a type of a vessel that the potter wanted. Okay, here's the point. Israel is the right clay. The Jewish people are the right clay. But sometimes the clay refuses to take the form that the potter wants to put into it. So the prophecy continues. The potter may turn it back into a lump and remove from it whatever does not serve the design. And the story with Israel is like this. The potter's fingers, which is our Lord in heaven, his fingers are on top of the clay right now, trying to formulate it into a new form, because right now the religion is in such a form, there's no, I would sometimes say there's no visa for the Messiah. There's no room for the Messiah. There's no throne for the Messiah in this plan, the crucified and risen Messiah. So, when we see these truths, actually, heavenly fingers on top of the clay, putting pressure into the second example is Joseph and his brothers. When Joseph knew his brothers and gave them corn and grain to eat, the brothers didn't know him first. But he was testing them. You are lying. You're trying to put a trick. You're lying to us. You are really spies. He was testing his brothers with the plan to reveal himself to them as soon as he sees the moment is ready. I would say this is the moment we're living in. The pressure on Israel for a good purpose. Terrorism is terrible, but God is above. We are being cornered to a point where we're tested as a nation. We're tested as a nation, and then Zechariah 12 then will be happening like beautifully quoted. So this is a glorious moment. Glorious moment. Glorious moment.
We can see very clearly the purpose of God unfolding. And you know, there are those, Pastor Ben, who would say, well, once this conflict is resolved, let's say, for instance, and speaking hypothetically, Hamas is destroyed and removed from Gaza, and then there is a peace. But yet, that peace would be short-lived because, according to biblical prophecy, we're going to see a coalition of nations eventually come against Israel. So even if there were a peace as a result of the present outcome, it's not going to be that permanent peace or the perfect peace that God has planned for his people and then to bless the world through the nation of Israel. That's something that's going to happen in the future.
A very good point again. As we know from Isaiah chapter 28, tells the leaders of Israel, you made covenant with death and hell. based on that scripture and other scriptures, I do not believe that we're able to get rid of all the terrors and all these terrorists around us, but there'll be some kind of a covenant, false covenant, with death and hell. There's a lot more things in the workings already. So, actually, these things are facing us right now. I know we're not setting any days for catching up, but the world is pushing the agenda with such a, that it reminds us of the horseman. The horseman in Zechariah 12, where the riders are actually drunken, and the horses are just wild, like in the Wild West they were. So we are going with unbelievable speed into these things.
Well, Pastor Ben, we want to thank you so much for joining us on the Grace Hour today. There's so much more we could talk about, so much more to say about this subject and this theme. Israel, without a doubt, is front and center when it comes to biblical prophecy. And we know that in the same way that all of the prophecies relating to Christ's first coming were fulfilled, we know that all of those prophecies regarding his second coming, and in particular with the nation of Israel, they also will come to pass. So we're praying for you and those that are with you and your ministry there as you reach out to those in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. Thank you so much for being with us today on the Grace Hour.
And thank you, Pastor Shalom, Pastor Love, everyone for praying for us. As the war planes go over us, we know there are people that pray for us. Thank you for taking up this topic.
God bless you, and thanks so much for joining us, Pastor Ben. Well, friends, we're out of time, but thanks so much. We hope that today's broadcast has been helpful. I think it has been, especially in light of current events that are happening in that part of the world. Pastor Ben joining us live from Israel today. We appreciate you taking the time to join us. Don't forget, the next Grace Hour broadcast coming up a little less than 24 hours from now. We hope that you'll tune in at that time. So until tomorrow, may God bless you.